got about a minute and a half video that kind of takes that theme. You're going to see some people getting text, and you're going to see their reactions to this good news they get. And then it's going to, you're going to see at the end of the video how it applies to believers in Jesus Christ today. So let's go ahead and dim the lights. I want you to watch this video. It's just a minute and a half. Watch this.
Wait, hang on.
Dude, no way! I told you!
You're not gonna believe what just happened.
Long ago, this is what they felt like when it happened. And today, it's how we should feel too. Because what it meant for them, it means for us.
Amen, church. Whew. Amen. Thought that was so good, you know? That's the excitement that we ought to have. You know, imagine that you get a imagine you got a loved one that dies, and your loved one, you just loved them so much, and they die, and imagine getting a text 4 days after they die, and the text says, "You will not believe it, they have revived, they are alive, they're breathing," 4 days after they die. In this day of modern medicine, it's not unusual for a person to quit breathing and they resuscitate them, but when somebody's been dead for 4 days, that doesn't happen. I've never heard of it, at least, except for one time. I have heard of it once, and that's in our text today. I want you to go to John chapter number 11 in your Bible. The page number, if you're using the Bible there in the seat in front of you, please feel free to grab that and use it. And the page number is always at the top of the handout each week. And page number 1113. We'll take you to John chapter number 11. John chapter number 11. And this event from the life of Christ happens in the town of Bethany. And I want to read a little bit about it. Ushers, I think we're good. Let's go to verse 1. Look at verse number 1. It says, "Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick." Now look at this, verse 3. "Therefore his sister sent unto him," unto Jesus, "saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." Now just to kind of give you the story quickly here, and then we're going to read some more in a minute. Lazarus, this young man, ends up dying. He does die. And by the time Jesus Christ gets to Bethany, Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. So the situation looked utterly hopeless. And this set the stage for Jesus Christ to perform the greatest miracle of his entire ministry. Let's see what happens. Go to verse 38 and let's see what happens here. It says, "Jesus therefore, again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. His body has begun to decay and decompose. It's going to smell rotten, Jesus. What do you mean, remove the stone? Verse 40, Jesus said unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? And then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Verse 43, 43. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Man, you talk about drama. How many of you would love to have been a fly on the wall of that cave? Amen. And I mean, I've got a picture here. This is what they say is Lazarus's tomb. And they've still got it there. And you see the picture of it. That's the outside of it where everybody would have been gathered around. And he said, roll the stone away. And then the next picture is a picture inside there. And you can see how that the staircase winds down here over here. I think I've got a pointer here. And you'll notice that right here is the opening. But then it winds down the stairs. And then the body would be laid in here. And so if you go back to the first picture, you'll notice that they're all gathered around outside here when all of this happens. And he says to move the stone. And I want you to imagine what it would have been like if you would have been there. I mean, people are probably thinking he's crazy, he's nuts. What do you mean remove the stone? This is nut. This guy's a lunatic. And so they remove the stone. And this is... Those of you that have never been back here don't know, but it's kind of similar to that. You've got an opening here, and then you've got a staircase that kind of leads down like this and then around. And imagine being outside the tomb, and there's a big crowd of people. He says, remove the stone, and so they remove the stone. And then all of a sudden, Jesus Christ bellows out, Lazarus, come forth! And they hear steps. And people are gasping. And all of a sudden, here he comes. Here he comes. He's still got all the grave clothes on. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Loose him and let him go, man. Can you, hey, man. And you know, I was thinking about that video that we saw. Don't you know some people outside there, when they saw this, some of them were fist pumping. Some of them were shouting, woo, woo. Some of them were just crying, weren't they? His sisters were probably weeping. You know, some of them, their jaws were just open, right? They're dumbfounded, right? I mean, they just cannot believe it. And I mean, imagine what it would have been like that day if you'd have been there. Whew, it's powerful. Thanks, Lazarus. You can go back to your tomb. All right, thank you. I mean, imagine that. You understand that Jesus Christ had already opened up blind eyes. He'd already opened up deaf ears. He'd already healed crippled people that had never walked a day in their life. In fact, you know, he'd already raised up two people from the dead before this ever occurred. But this was altogether different. It was on a completely different level. This was a miracle that even the critics could not deny. And the religious hierarchy of Israel, they were getting worried because they thought Christ might take their positions over. And so they began plotting to kill him at this point. I mean, seriously plotting. And many that day that were watching, they did the sane and the rational thing. You say, what's the sane and rational thing? Look at verse 45, and I'll show you. Verse 45, it says, then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did. What's those last three words? They believed on him. Would you all agree with me? That was the rational thing to do. Amen? They're like, what in the world did we just see? You know, this is nuts. They're like, absolutely he is who he says he is. Absolutely that's the Son of God. Absolutely that's the Messiah. He is the Savior of the world. Like we sung earlier, many of them said, we believe. We believe. Within a week of this event, his critics would put Christ to death on the cross. 3 days later, Christ himself would walk out of his tomb alive. And he would show himself alive with many infallible proofs. And now it is possible for every person to overcome and to defeat death. There's four things that we learn about death from this story and how to defeat it. Number one is this. Let me give it to you. It's in your handout. Number one, death is a reality for every person. In other words, this is a subject that really ought to concern all of us today. This is a subject in which nobody in the room is excluded. Sometimes I preach messages and you think, well, that really didn't pertain to me today, you know. But today, this subject pertains to everybody in the room, because death is something that will come knocking at every single one of our doors. And you know, the funny thing about it is, death does not care how old you are. Death does not care who you know. Death does not care what your financial portfolio looks like. Death does not care what your house looks like. And the reason why I say that is because of Lazarus. See, here's the deal. This guy Lazarus, he was obviously from a very wealthy family. Back then, you died, they dug a hole in the backyard and they buried you. And so the fact that he had this humongous tomb, and that, you know, to have a tomb that was in a man-made cavern like that, and to have a big stone in front of it, that means that he was from a family of means. They had money. Not only that, Lazarus knew the right people, man. He was personal friends with Jesus Christ and personal friends with the 12 disciples of Christ. He was young, but it did not matter. He still got sick and died. So what do we learn? Well, what we learn from this is that death is no respecter of persons. Death comes knocking on the door of every single person. In your handout is a verse. Look at it with me. Psalm 89:48. Look at it with me there. It's in your handout. Psalm 89:48. What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? You know what the Bible's saying there? It's saying, hey, are you going to somehow keep from dying? Are you going to keep yourself from dying? I don't think so. Hebrews 9:27 says it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. You say, why the judgment? Because of something that entered the world shortly after God created it. It's a thing called sin. Adam and Eve, the first man and woman, they were warned not to sin, but they disobeyed God anyway, and we have all felt the repercussions of what occurred that day. If you'll look in your handout at another verse I have prepared for you, it's Romans 5:12. Look at that one. It says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men. Why? For that what? All have sinned. We have all inherited a tendency to do the things that we know are wrong. We've all inherited. Is there anyone in here who would agree with that? Anybody who will be honest and say, yeah, that's me. We have all inherited a tendency to do the things that are wrong. Listen, even when we don't want to sin, because we know it's going to hurt us, it's going to harm us, many times we still do it because its influence is so strong and there's such a pull. Our sin, the Bible says, ultimately leads to physical and spiritual death for every person. Romans 6:23, y'all know that verse? For the wages of sin is what? It's death. There's a price tag on sin. Now, it don't always seem like it. In the moment, it seems great, seems like fun, seems like it won't hurt us a bit. What harm's it gonna do? But there's a price tag associated with it. It's like if you're in a convertible car, sports car, and you're going down this windy road, and you're doing 80 miles per hour, you got the top down, the wind's blowing in your face, the sun is shining on you, you got this beautiful landscape, and you're going up and down hills and around curves, and you're just having the time of your life, and then all of a sudden, you make a curve, and without any warning, no signage, no prior warning at all of a sudden, there's a cliff. And, I mean, there is no time to respond, the road just abruptly ends, and off the cliff you go. And that's exactly the way sin is. It seems like everything's great. There's no harm. I'm okay. I'm invincible. And then all of a sudden, the road abruptly ends. And we find out, yeah, the wages of sin is death. You see, death is a reality for every person. But here's the good news. Number two in your handout, here's the good news. Death can be followed by life. Does that sound strange to you? You say, Pastor Dan, you got that backwards. You got that backwards, man. Hey, life is followed by death. Isn't that what you meant to say? No, I meant to say it that way. Now, the world says, if you're dead, you're dead. And a lot of people believe that. They believe that when you're dead, that's it. You're done. That's period, finished. That's it. End of the story. A lot of people believe that. But what I want you to know today is that Jesus Christ, over and over and over again during his ministry, emphasized that a person could have life after death. I went on Amazon.com, and just out of curiosity this week, I typed in three words, life after death. And then I refined my search to just books. And when I put in the words life after death on Amazon.com, just under books, I got 101,000 results. People are very intrigued by this subject of life after death. They're very intrigued by it. But you know what? I could save them a lot of time. What they need to do is just read the Bible, because Jesus Christ talked a whole lot about it 2,000 years ago, didn't he? He was talking about that subject 2,000 years, but I don't think they had Amazon back then, did they? They had the Amazon, right? River, but not Amazon.com. He was talking about life after death 2,000 years ago extensively. In fact, I'll show you one verse. This is just one of many. Look at the screen here, John 5:24. Jesus said, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation." Then Jesus said, when you believe, he said, you are passed from death unto what? Life. He didn't say life unto death. No, he said death unto life, which is what I said in the handout. You see, what's he saying? Death can be followed by life. And don't we see that in the text? I mean, here we got Lazarus. He's been dead 4 days. And it's like, man, the resurrection of Lazarus was concrete evidence. It was like exhibit A, that it is indeed possible to obtain life after death. It gave credence to the teaching of Jesus Christ that physical death is not the end. Death can be followed by life. Would y'all agree that's encouraging today? Amen. Death can be followed by life. That's encouraging. But the third thing I want to give you is this. Number three, death can be defeated through Jesus. Death can be defeated through Jesus. That's the third thing we learn in this story. Now, as I already said, Jesus had already raised up two people from the dead before this event. But here's the deal. They were only dead a few hours. According to Jewish theology, a person was not really dead until they had been in the grave for 3 days, long enough for their body to begin to decay and decompose. Well, Lazarus qualified because he had been dead for 4 days. So Jesus was very careful to make sure that Lazarus was really, really dead. Nobody had ever, ever been raised from the dead who had been dead 4 days. Old Testament, New Testament, it doesn't matter. All the way back in history, nobody had ever come back from the dead after 4 days in the grave until this day. Jesus Christ preceded this miracle by uttering one of the most powerful and incredible statements that has ever been made. He made a statement that was so incredible. It's the most powerful statement ever made. Look at verse 23. I'll show it to you. Verse 23. Jesus said unto her, this is Lazarus' sister, "Thy brother shall rise again." Verse 24. Martha said unto him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said unto her, now here's the statement. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me," and what's the next three words, "shall never die." That is an amazing statement. You understand the impact of that? It was not just Martha, calm down, I can raise him up to life. That would have been amazing in and of itself, but he went way beyond that. He said, "Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. I am that. You're looking at it. I embody life. They can take away my physical life, but they cannot keep it because I am life." None of us in here could say that. We couldn't say I am life. We could say we have life. But no, he said, "I am the resurrection. I am the life." Me and life are synonyms, he said. You think about the impact of that. Think about that. That's a big statement. But within a week, he would prove it. Because they would arrest him, beat him, torture him, put him to death on the cross, lock him away in a tomb of his own. But what we're here to celebrate today is he resurrected from the dead 3 days later. And this miracle with Lazarus would prepare hearts for what would soon happen with Jesus Christ. And here's what's important, is that God has provided a way for you and I to defeat and to conquer death. And that way is Jesus Christ. There is no other solution. There is no other hope. Why? Because no other person has ever defeated death. It's like there was a Muslim that converted to Christianity in Africa I was reading about, and his friends asked him, said, why did you convert to Christianity? And the fellow said, well, it's like this. He said, suppose you're going down a road, and he says you come to a fork in the road. And he said, you come to this fork, and you got two directions. You don't know which way to go. He says, but you meet two men at the fork. He said, one's dead and one's alive. He said, which one would you ask to show you the way? Right? Muhammad's dead. Christ is alive. Amen. He said, who are you going to ask to show you the way? You see, faith in just anything will not do. You can put your faith in me that I can cause you to overcome death and defeat it. You can put your faith in me, but it ain't going to do much good. You can put your faith in that piano right there that that's going to cause you to overcome death, and you can believe with all your heart that piano is going to deliver you from death. It ain't going to do much good. You see, it's not just faith in anything. Some people say, well, as long as your faith's in something, it's all right. No, it's faith in Jesus Christ. He's the focus of our faith. He alone is the resurrection and the life. He's the only source of salvation. Think about this. If only one person has ever defeated death, then that ought to tell me something. That means they've got the key. So if I want victory over death, I'm going to have to go through them. And thankfully, we can. Look in your handout. I'll show you a great verse. Look at it with me. It's there in your handout. Revelation 1:18. It says, Jesus said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Look at that again. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And let's all say the next word to that. Amen. And he says, I have the what? I got the keys. I got the keys of hell and of death. Hey, look, if this door back here is locked, and let's say that this door is locked, Pastor Shannon is the only one with the key. Nobody else has a key to that door. Well, then you know what? Common sense tells me if Shannon's the only one that has a key, I'm not getting in there unless I go through Shannon. I got to get with Shannon because he's the only one with the key that can get me through the door. Jesus Christ said, I have the keys to death. I own them. I've got them. And he says, I love you, and I am offering this resurrection life to anybody who will simply believe on me and trust me. It's not a complicated process. He's not going to make you crawl over broken glass to get this life. He says, I just want you to believe in me, trust in me. You know, believe that I am who I said I am, that I'm not a liar, that I am the truth. I am the way. I am the life. I am the resurrection. Put your faith and trust in me, and I'll give you this life too, he says. Look at the screen up here, and notice John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever what? Believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's not complicated. Look at the next verse. Acts 16:31 says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be what? Saved. You'll be saved. You'll be delivered from death. Look at the next one. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. How? It's real simple through our Lord Jesus Christ, what he's done. You put your faith in him. Look at the next one. Romans 10, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, what's the promise? Thou shalt be saved. Jesus Christ is a giver. He doesn't desire to keep his life and his blessings to himself. He gave his life on the cross to make a full payment for our sins. He was raised from the dead, which proved the sufficiency of his work and what he did. And now he invites whosoever will to come and put their faith and trust in him, and he will provide you everlasting life. Death can be defeated through Jesus. The last point is this, number four. Death does not have to be feared. Death does not have to be feared. Did you know that because of what Jesus has done, we do not have to fear death? He has overcome it. He has defeated it. And if your faith and your trust is in him, you've got nothing to fear. Great passage. Turn your handout over and let me show you. Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. Look at it with me. It says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood." That's us. He says, we're all made of flesh and blood. How many of you in here have flesh and blood? Raise your hand if you do. I hope everybody. Nobody's embalmed, are they? All right, everybody's got flesh and blood. All right, good. It says, he himself, Jesus, he took part of the same, right? He was born in Bethlehem. He took on our flesh and blood. Why? Look at it. That through death, he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. It is bondage, man. It is scary when you fear death. And the Bible says that Jesus overcame the devil. He overcame death. He overcame the grave. And now you and I, if our faith's in him, we do not have to fear death. You know, how many of you kind of think of a possum as a dumb animal? I do. Why? Because most of the time when we see a possum, what are they? They're dead. They're laying on the side of the road or out in the middle of the road, you know. You kind of think of them as a really dumb animal, a possum. You know, they say, why did the chicken cross the road? To show the possum that it could be done, right? They get some bad press, don't they? And you know, they're actually smarter than we think in some areas. Because did you know that a possum will not go into a hole in the ground if there's only one set of tracks outside the hole? Why? They know that it's still in there and it could hurt them. If there's a set of tracks leading in the hole and then there's another set of tracks heading back out, then they're not afraid to enter the hole. The message of today, Easter Sunday, Resurrection Day, the message that I have for you today is that we can enter the grave. We do not have to fear death, because not only are there a set of tracks heading into Jesus' tomb, but there's a set of tracks heading back out. And we don't have to fear. We don't have to fear. We can trust Christ. Jesus said in our text, if we've put our faith in him, we will never die. Sure, we die physically, but the believer is more alive than they've ever been. The Bible says that when a believer dies, they are absent from the body and then what? Present with the Lord. There's never a second where a Christian is not alive. For the Christian, death is not a period at the end of a sentence. Death is a comma that leads us into eternal life with Jesus Christ. Christ is the great conqueror of death. Sin and the devil, they give death. Christ gives life, eternal life. You know, it's kind of like this. I'll bring it up on the screen. The world's philosophy out there and what they want you to believe, this is exactly what Satan's world philosophy wants you to believe, is that you could put any, go ahead and bring it up. You could put any name in there you want to. We could, suppose I died. What the world's philosophy is Dan is dead, period. Dan is dead, period. That's it. There's no hope beyond the grave. There's no hope beyond death. Dan is dead. But the teaching of Jesus Christ is this. It's Dan died, comma, and is living eternally with Jesus Christ. Death is a comma that leads us to eternal life with Jesus Christ. And the name of the message today is called Defeating Death. And I want you to know that the reason why we can defeat death is because Jesus already defeated it. He already defeated it. And in your handout it says, Jesus defeated death and now offers everlasting what? Life. And then it asks the question, will you choose life? Will you choose Jesus Christ? Hey, the only reason you even have a choice is because of what Christ has done. Because he resurrected from the dead, you do have an option. You do have a choice to choose life. But God won't make you make that choice. That has to be your choice. Today, will you choose Christ?